Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our hearts. Open our minds to understand the scriptures. May your word live in us and bear much fruit to your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have at home a little reproduction icon of Jesus, and it's quite unlike any of the others that I have, because in this little icon, the Jesus depicted doesn't look anything like Robert Powell or Jim Calzeal or even Max von Sydow. This little 16th century Russian icon shows a Jesus with skin about Ben's color and a full round face and a thick head of curly dark brown hair. And it always catches me by surprise because it isn't the familiar image. And I keep it to remind me that I want to know Jesus more truly as he is. And that however long I may have been a believer, the journey of faith remains a journey of discovery. And that there is always more to Jesus than I might have yet imagined. And so to keep me humble, I keep this little icon of a less familiar Jesus. A Jesus I wouldn't recognize if I passed him in the street. Today's gospel reading begins with Cleopas and his traveling companion reporting to the 11 disciples their experience on the road to Emmaus, because they too had not recognized Jesus when they passed him on the street. And so let us recap what the report is that Cleopas and Emmaus are bringing the 11. They speak of meeting this man on the road whom they don't recognize. They think he's a stranger. And this encounter with the risen Jesus echoes Mary Magdalene's encounter with the risen Jesus in the Gospel of John. She didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. And when Jesus suddenly stands among the 11 in today's reading, they don't recognize him as their risen friend. They think he's a ghost. These first 14 witnesses fail to recognize the risen Jesus when he first reappears to them. Luke chapter 24, verse 16 could be translated like this: but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Now, why would Jesus do that? Well, the fact that Cleopas and his friend see Jesus as a stranger allows them to reveal the thoughts of their hearts in a way that was quite different than if they had known it was him. If they had known it was Jesus they were speaking to, we would have heard quite different things from their lips. But Jesus wants to know where they are at in the moment. Jesus wants to know their hearts. And so he comes to them as a stranger. Matthew chapter 25 tells us that Jesus does that. When did we see you a stranger, or sick, or in prison, or hungry, or thirsty? So Jesus comes alongside as a stranger to Cleopas and his friend and asks them, what were you talking about? You must be a stranger indeed, not to know what's been happening in Jerusalem. What things? Says Jesus. I'd be fascinated to know the tone in which he asked that question, because, of course, we know the story. I hear humor in that. What things? But Cleopas and his friends certainly did not experience it that way, because that is what provokes them to pour out their hearts. What things about Jesus of Nazareth? And they pour their hearts out. And what comes out is trauma. Our powerful prophet was crucified. And despair. We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. And confusion. And now his body is missing. And disbelief. And now some of the women say they've seen angels who say that he's alive. This is what the stranger Jesus is able to hear from these two disciples. He hears where they are at. They are in a place of trauma, despair, confusion, and disbelief. Once the two have laid their hearts open, that is when Jesus begins to reveal himself to them. First, he reframes their entire approach to the Old Testament and opens their eyes to layers of story they hadn't seen before. And then he eats with them. And it's then that their eyes were opened. Now, Luke doesn't tell us how their eyes were opened exactly. But to eat together, to eat in their place of lodging, Jesus would probably have removed his shoes, showing his feet. To break bread and give it to them as he did, they would have seen his hands. And just to recline together to eat, as people did in those days, they would have come close. And then their eyes were opened and they knew who it was. So this is the report that the 11 apostles are hearing at the beginning of today's passage. This is the story arc they hear. The story arc of two people who have firstly known Jesus. We don't know how closely, but they were followers. And then they had lost him. He was executed, discredited. The hope was forsaken. The body was missing. And then in this low point, this point of despair, Jesus meets them, returns to them, but they don't recognize him. And then he comes closer, and they know it's him. It sounds like a pretty unique testimony, but it isn't. As I mentioned earlier, Mary Magdalene's story arc is exactly the same. She's gone through exactly the same experience. She has known Jesus and followed him. And then she is in this place of grief and loss and confusion. And again, in her grief in that moment is when the risen Jesus returns to her, but she doesn't recognize him. Then he comes closer. Mary. And then she knows it's him. Sounds like another unique testimony. But it isn't. Because today the 11 and those gathered with them are on the exact same journey. They have been with Jesus and they have lost Jesus and are in this place of grief and confusion and sadness and despair. And while they are in that place, listening to Cleopas and his friend, that is when the risen Jesus comes to them, and they don't recognize him as their risen friend. They think he's a ghost. And then Jesus comes closer. Just as before, Jesus takes them to the scriptures. "You've been reading these wrong," he says. And he opens their minds to understand the scriptures, Luke says. He shows them new layers of story in the Old Testament scriptures, scriptures they'd have been very familiar with. But now he shows them the scriptures are all about the suffering and death of the Messiah. They're all about his resurrection and the preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins and the power of the Holy Spirit and proclamation to people of every ethnicity and nationality. Following his Bible study, He then says, "Let's eat. Have you got any fish?" And he comes closer still to recline at table, and it is then they know who he is. Now, at one level, these are unique occurrences. These were the unique events, as we have them told to us, that unfolded as those first believers became aware of the resurrected Jesus. But there's something strangely universal about that story arc. Because at another level, for many of us, this story arc is the pattern of our own lives. This story arc is the story of our own faith and our own journeys with Christ. We feel we know the Lord. We seek to follow him. And then there can come times when Jesus seems to recede from our view. Perhaps through the seasons of life or the circumstances of life, we no longer find Jesus as we did before. We may lose sight of him. We may lose heart or lose hope or even lose faith. He's just not there as he was before. Some mystics call this experience the dark night. Some writers call it the desert. For some, it's just life. Jesus met Cleopas and his companion in their low point, in their trauma and grief and disbelief and confusion. And often when Jesus comes to us afresh, it is in those low points, in those times of need, in moments of sadness or grief or despair or loss. Just this week, I was speaking to a lady at the Devonshire Tea on Thursday. Thank you for everyone who participated in that. And that was her story, that story arc of discovery and loss and rediscovery in a time of grief and sadness. Last week, I was speaking to a retired bishop. That's his story too. Discovery, loss, and rediscovery in a time of grief. When I worked in London, I knew a lady called Gladys, who was part of our chapel in Camden Town. She was 90, virtually housebound and quite frail. She exuded peace and joy. And one day I asked her why. And Gladys told me her story. She told me that she had grown up as a believer and had a real faith and attended church and sang in the choir and was very devout. But later on in the busyness of work and family life, she lost touch with her faith and that sense of connection with God receded. Later still, in her senior years, she became blind and infirm and eventually had to give up her home and move in with her daughter. And she said, "I was frightened, I was depressed, and I just couldn't find meaning or hope in that part of my life." And it was in that trough that Jesus returned to her afresh. Quite unlooked for, she described an experience she had of the risen Jesus, an intense visual experience of light which filled the room she was sitting in, and an inward experience of love such as she had never known before. She didn't know what it was. She didn't know what to make of it until later. Still blind, still frail, still housebound, at one level nothing had changed except that the weaving presence of Jesus had just woven back into her life. and had brought her the joy and comfort she needed for her journey in that difficult time. The risen Jesus had just come closer, and she knew that it was him. Now, your experience may be very different to that. Perhaps your awareness of God is much more constant. Perhaps your life is much smoother sailing. Good on you. Perhaps your spiritual journey is a smooth and serene ascent from one degree of glory to the next. I can't see anyone nodding. Or maybe the experience of those first disciples of finding the Lord, then losing him, then finding him again, may be ringing some bells with you this morning. Perhaps you can relate to the way Jesus took those first disciples back to the scriptures, scriptures they would have known very well, and told them that beginning with Moses and all the prophets and all the Psalms, they hadn't been reading them quite right, and there was a whole layer of other story here that they had missed. I wonder if you can relate to that. His goal in all this, Jesus' goal in all this, and in this whole story arc that we might experience, is that we might know that he is risen. His goal in all this is that we might know him more truly as he is. You are witnesses of these things, Jesus said. In other words, as we share our own stories of discovery and loss and rediscovery, I believe it puts out an invitation. Puts out an invitation to share a journey of faith that is always in process. To expect from God something other than what's familiar to us. And to know that there is always more to this Jesus than we have yet imagined. May the Lord open our eyes afresh to the risen Jesus. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.